welcome to Planet Shakers. We're so blessed to have you with us today. I'm going to be sharing on a sermon, God Builds Generationally. We've looked at God builds relationally, revelationally, and God builds from generation to generation. Open up your spirit, receive from what God has for you today. I'm sure it will bless you. I've been doing this series on Unless God Builds the House, how God builds. And He builds, number one, by revelation. Good, some of you are listening. The second way He builds through relationship. He builds relationally. So thirdly, the way that God builds is generationally. And so I want to speak about how God builds generationally today. So are you ready? Are you ready, North? Are you ready, Northeast? Are you ready, Geelong? Are you ready, Melbourne? Are you ready, Southeast? I know Southeast is the loudest because I've preached there. They're out doing the 9:30 service here. They're louder in the Southeast and there's less people. Come on, Melbourne. Come on, Northeast. Come on, North. Come on, Geelong. Not just the front three rows, two people. Just encourage you. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the workers of the builders is wasted. The work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do it no good. Unless it's for you to work so hard, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to His loved ones. Children, here we go, are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. Awesome scripture. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Here's an amazing scripture that talks about God building, and then he goes on to talk about children, and God, it begins to show what power there is in generational living. Have you ever read the Bible and you come to the genealogy section? He begat, who begat, and they begat, and whatever begat, begat, begat. And you know, there's lots of verses or chapters in the Bible with lineages of people. How many know that God never puts anything in the scripture by mistake? The Bible says all scripture is God inspired or God breathed. So God is making a point here when He begins to tell the lineages or the history or the generations of people. And I love what the Bible does, because when you go through the lineage of Jesus, He puts people in there that shouldn't fit. That shouldn't be there, like Rahab the prostitute. He brings Rahab into the story to become a lineage of the Messiah, because God wants you to know, doesn't matter where you're from, what generation you're born in, what family you're born in, once you're born again, you start coming into a kingdom lineage that brings about a kingdom result. God is about, I usually find those genealogy sections really boring. But if you begin to look at it, you go, wow, God so cares about families. See, Genesis 1, verse 27 and 28 says, God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. Thank God for that. If this world was just full of males, it would drive me mental. And if it was just full of women, it would drive me crazy. Both are amazing. And created by God. He created male and female. And it says, then God blessed them. Everyone say, bless them. Yes. What did He bless them to do? He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Now, what was He talking about? Adam and Eve did not have children when God made them. So when He says, be fruitful and multiply, what was He saying? He was saying, Adam, I've given you a thing called sperm, and Eve, I've given you eggs, and I want you to come together to create a lineage to multiply. That's why we have the lineages of people. So God's plan was always to release a multiplication through generations to release kingdom blessing generationally. So firstly, we have a revelation of who Jesus is. It starts something. Then we build relationally, and now we build generationally. See, when Sam and I were single, we were single. But when we got married, we came together and created children. When we were single and dating and whatever, and even when we're married, we were in relationship. We still are in relationship. But when we created Jonathan and Amy, we now have generations. So we had a revelation. When I first saw her, I had a revelation. She's the one. Then I decided to come into relationship with her, and now we've got generations coming through us. It's the way God builds. He gives you a revelation of who He is, and then He says, I want to build my church through relationship, which ultimately will release generations. That's pretty good, hey? I'm enjoying it anyway. So firstly, God created us to multiply. I thought about this today, and I Googled it because Google knows everything. When you get to heaven, will you have your own family? Or did God look at us, and does God look at me and go, Russell Evans? He sees that I'm part of the Evans family. Or when He looks at me as God the Father, does He see me as His child? So am I part of kingdom? So they should call me Russell Kingdom. I just made that up. Someone wrote that down. So when I get to heaven, is God looking at my immediate family or His whole family? I think He's looking at His whole family. So when we're talking generationally, we're not talking about just your immediate family, although your immediate family are a part of generations. What He's talking about is the whole world. He wants to make His family generationally. Because God does not look at Jew or Gentile. He does not look at colors. He does not look at upbringings. He does not look at socioeconomic status or education. He looks at father through a father's eye. There's my children. How awesome is my children. They are the colors of the rainbow. And when I put light into them, it brings out the greatness of them. It's only darkness that makes things distinguished or different. God celebrates our uniqueness, but what unites us is His light. The dark is what takes the beauty out of a rainbow. It's the light that shows all the colors. So God created us to multiply. Exodus 3 verse 6 says, I am the God of your father, it's talking to Moses, Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. You see, God not only wants us to multiply, but God's plan is to build through generations. You notice He doesn't say, I'm the God of Abraham. He says, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, and I'm the God of Jacob. In other words, as I promised Abraham, I have promised Isaac, and I have promised Jacob. In fact, the promises I gave to your dad is the promises I want to release through the son and through the grandson. Genesis 12 verse 2 is this promise. He says, I'll make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. And I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. So God is saying this. He's saying, hey, I'm a generational God. I build revelationally. I build through relationship, but I ultimately want to build generationally. I've got a long-term plan. In fact, Bible says in Genesis 3:29, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, and you are His heirs, and God's promise that Abraham belongs to you. So what is He saying? I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Rudy. I'm the God of Brett. I'm the God of Rowena. I'm the God of Suze. I'm the God of every one of you, of Jamie and Amy. I'm the God of Russell. I'm the God of Rochelle. I'm the God of Joey. I'm the God of John Mano, who has just made so many pizzas last night. It was unbelievable. You should see his Instagram. Made me hungry. I look fat. I got fat just looking at it. What is he saying? The same promises I gave to Abraham is the same promises I give to you. Everywhere your foot treads is your inheritance. That same blessing I'll make your name great is the same blessing I have for you. Why? Because I'm the God who wants to build and multiply and enlarge through generations. As we dig deeper into the Word of God, God will reveal greater than what we've even experienced so far. So why don't you sit back and enjoy what God's about to do in you. My dad released a book this week called, it was The Life of Andrew Evans, Life and Leadership of Andrew Evans, and it's called Jesus First. So in other words, what is he saying? This book talks about his life, but he's saying the first thing is Jesus is the revelation. Now you see through this book that he's built relationally through people he brought into his life and then generationally. And I begin to think about, and I was reading some of his book. It's pretty cool. We'll order some and you can buy it. Because if you want to know the history of Australian Pentecostalism and what God has done in the last 100 years, it's a cool book to read. And also gives you a little bit of history of where we've come from. That my grandfather was the first in our lineage that we know of, probably generations gone down, that we were saved. There was probably some praying grandma somewhere that prayed for their children who had turned from God, and then one day it came to my grandfather's house. But my grandfather, who was 18 years of age, or 17, 18 years of age, attended a Friday night meeting in an independent congregational church in his hometown in Wales, Aberammam. It was led by the healing evangelist Stephen Jeffries, who had been converted through the Welsh Revival. When the altar call was over, Jeffrey gazed down the aisle to where Tom was seated, and obscurely in the back row walked straight up and stared him in the eyes and asked if he was saved. Tom confessed, "No, but I'd like to be." He gave his life to the Lord, walked out that service, threw away the cigarettes in his pocket without being told to, and decided he'd never smoke again. Soon after, he was baptized in the Spirit through the ministry of a local leader called Ted Ellis, and his life was never the same again. Speaking through 1 Chronicles 16:24 and 28:10, God divinely called Tom into mission service. This required him enrolling in a Hampstead Bible school, a step Tom was initially reluctant to, believing that if you go to Bible school, you'll end up like so many others, full of head knowledge and methods and no faith and anointing. However, Tom soon discovered that the school provided him the essential depth of preparation to required him to minister in faith and anointing. The principal of HBS, Howard Carter, was a close personal friend of evangelist Smith Wigglesworth, and Lester Summerall was considered a missionary to missionaries, pioneering training in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Under the practical, stimulating and open tutelage of Carter, Tom became an extremely diligent student. During Bible school, Tom also read Jenny Fuller's book, A Life of God in India, which made a tremendous impression and developed a deep burden for prayer. Now, here's my grandfather, gets saved. God speaks to him out of two scriptures. 1 Chronicles 16:24 and 1 Chronicles 28:10. Now, I hadn't read these in context until this morning, because I thought, I'm going to look up these scriptures, because I'm talking about generations. I'm talking about what God wants to do generationally. And I'm the third generation, now my children are fourth generation Christian in our family. Now, my grandfather went to be a missionary in India. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. The reason he didn't want to go to Bible college is he didn't want to fill people with not, he seen people full with knowledge but do nothing. The whole reason we have Bible college here at Planet Shakers is give people empowerment to move in the gifts of the Spirit and the anointing of God. We are totally against us giving head knowledge without practical experience or outworking. So where did that come from? Where did that concept come from? From third generation, handed down generational. Have I ever talked to my grandfather about that? No. But something in the Spirit was passed down. These two scriptures that God gave my grandfather was this. 1 Corinthians 16:24. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all the peoples. Now, is that what you call Planet Shakers? So my grandfather, with no upbringing, religious Christian upbringing, has a word from God, never done anything for God, and God gives him, declare his glory among the nations. Empower generations to win generations. His wonders among the people. Can you see how God is building? He started with my grandpa's lineage, not just him. But you think about that. His Bible college lecturer, who has nothing to do with my family lineage, but my spiritual family, taught him the gifts of the Spirit, taught him how to move in the anointing. One of the things we are known about is how to move in the gifts of the Spirit and the anointing. Where was that learnt? From some Bible college principal who had an encounter with God coming from Smith Wigglesworth, and God says, you see, I might touch a family line, but I'm going to touch a spiritual family line, and now millions of people. So millions of people have been impacted through that Bible college principal that he would have no knowledge of. One, the second scripture. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. This church, the very two things we do is release the glory of God globally and build church. The very thing we are doing today came as a revelation three generations ago from God to my grandfather. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. In a meeting, my dad is pastoring. Church is exploding in Klemzig in Adelaide, Australia. He takes a movement that was growing 400% a week. A church was being planted every 2 days in this nation under my dad's leadership over a 3-year period. So all the blessings and the things that are happening in the Pentecostal church started somewhere. So he's preaching in a service. There's a balcony and there's a young man sitting at the back, crazy young man, artist young man, sitting at the back. And my dad preaches a sermon and the conviction of the Holy Spirit hits him and he walks forward and gives his life to Jesus, and he's standing at the altar and there's young girls crying because it's their art teacher. And the Lord speaks to my dad as he's preaching and he says, and he will be your Timothy. And Tim Hall was born again at that moment. Now, millions of people have been saved around the world. Think about it. Tim Hall doesn't come from our lineage, bloodline, but he comes from our spiritual bloodline. That's how God builds. He builds generationally. So you might think, well, I wasn't brought up in this legacy. Neither was my grandfather. Neither was Tim Hall. But when you understand that we are the family of God and God wants to release the blessings of God generationally, guess what happens? something is multiplied to touch millions of people. 160,000 people on a regular basis watch our service online on a Sunday service. Third thing, each generation's responsibility is to teach and to declare to the next generation the works of God. Psalm 145 verse 3 to 4 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." See, if we're here to touch a city, if we're here to bring change, we got to not just have a 2-year plan or a 5-year plan. We need to have a 100-year plan where we say, hey, we're going to declare the goodness of God to one generation who then declares it to another generation. It might come in a different style. It might come in a different package. But as long as the message stays the same, as long as the encounters continue, we got to say, well, God did it then, but he's going to do it now. Declare from one generation to another. Don't declare religion. Declare the possibilities of God. Declare the greatness of God. Oh, I remember when God did this, but he did this yesterday. So he'll do it today and he'll do it tomorrow, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to release something in the next generation that's going to blow our mind. My challenge to parents, what are you releasing to your children? Are you declaring career over calling? Are you declaring money over manifest presence? Are you declaring your agenda over his agenda? What you declare and what you make important in your life is what the next generation runs with. It's true. You get hurt, you get offended. Are you going to declare offense or are you going to declare forgiveness? When my dad's street was letterboxed by a person who didn't like him 39 times, what did I do? What did I see my dad do? God, I pray for him. God, would you touch him? God, would you love him? God. And I saw a man who was attacked, forgive, forgive, forgive. The reason I stand behind this pulpit today is because I have a dad who was the same here as the same there. So, our job, our responsibility is to declare to each generation. So, by the way, so when songs come on like, my praise is going, well, that's not my style. Well, enjoy it anyway, because the next generation are enjoying it. And young is a mindset. I've discovered I can get old, and that's why God gives you children. And then when you get really old, he gives you grandchildren. Beauty about grandchildren is you can hand them over quickly. You can say, well, I got an hour with them. That's good. Done my duty. Now, I'm not there yet. Sam would like to have grandchildren. And I said, well, wait for a while. But we got spiritual grandchildren. We got people being raised up who are deciding, I want to shape the planet. I want to declare the acts and the works and the marvelous deeds of God. You see, you're not here. You're not at Planet Shakers Church because it's got nice teaching, good music. That's just a byproduct. You're here to change the world. You're here. You see, I want to challenge you and agitate you. I want to stir something in you that you're not here for you. You're here for generations to come. You're not just here for your own good. That's why I want to stir you to give. Give of your time. Give of your life. Give of your finance. Give of your passion. Get involved. I've had people over the years say, I can't get my children in church. And I said, well, how much did you attend church? Well, we were fairly regular. We came once every 3 weeks. Were you connected to a small group? No, not really. Sport was more important than the house of God. I said, well, what do you expect? Now you want me to fix them up when they're 16 years of age? See, what you model is what they copy. How are we going? So what keeps this generational blessing going? What keeps this momentum? What keeps this anointing? Honor. What God spoke to Abraham, Isaac had to honor the promise. Jacob had to honor the promise that was on his father and his grandfather. And honor, what we honor, what God does. See, empowering generations. Are you honoring that? Are you empowering people? Are you encountering God? Because what you honor is what you multiply, and what you multiply becomes generational. How God builds is revelation. But if we don't honor revelation in each generation, guess what happens? It becomes a theory. It becomes a practice. It becomes a religious activity. If we don't honor Him and His presence in each generation, it becomes a religious service. Honor the gifts of the Spirit. Honor the miracles. Honor the house of God. Honor the people around you. Honor your parents. Honor your bosses. Honor one another, because honor is the glue that releases generational blessing. What you honor is what you give weight to. And what you give weight to is what you empower. I tweeted this week a statement that some people teach on honor to get people to do things for them. Jesus taught on honor so He could do things for people. Jesus understood the power of honor, because honor released what He carried. He wanted to do stuff for people that He could only do, but unless they honored who He was and what He did, they would never receive from it. He was never looking for something that was about self. He was always looking about something about them, because true honor isn't about you. True honor is about what can we do to release to the next and 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 the next. That's why I don't just tithe for now, I tithe for generations to come. I just don't serve for now, I'm serving for generations to come. My father was a person of prayer. Why do you think right now our 7 a.m. prayer meetings are so important? Why? Because God began to speak to me about one of the keys for our church was prayer. Not prayer through a system, but prayer through a hunger for God. You see, if you're hungry for God, you want to pray. God builds generationally. The same promises for Abraham are the same promises for you. If God can do for my grandfather and my family and touch millions of people, He can do the same for you. If God can take Rahab, who was somebody isolated outside the lineage of Jesus, and be brought in, He can do the same for you. And my challenge to you, if you were brought up in a good legacy, continue it and take it to another level, because God wants to multiply it. He wants to increase it in each generation. Abraham had one child of the promise. Isaac had two children of the promise, but Jacob had 12. 1, 2, 12. There was a doubling in the second generation, but there was a multiplication in the third generation. Imagine what could happen in the fourth, in the fifth, in the sixth, and the seventh. Imagine what God can do in 100 years from now at Planet Shakers as we begin to change the world for Jesus. Honor releases what He carries. Our prayer is that every generation encounters Jesus, whether it's a first generation or a generation that has been saved and gone through the legacy of generations. God wants to use every generation to make a difference on this planet. I pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you want to connect with us, connect on social media or any place, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or if you want to send us an email at church@planetshakers. Our prayer is that you have a revelation of Jesus, build relationally and build generationally, and see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you. See you next week. It's going to be amazing. You are a planet shaker, so shake your planet.